Good day, and welcome to the Vienna International Airport conference call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Judith Helleny. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, also a warm welcome from my side to the conference call for the third quarter results of Vienna Airport. As mentioned, the presentation and the conference call is being recorded. The presentation slides are available at our homepage. The presentation will be held by our board members, and it will be followed after with a Q&A session. The recording of the presentation will be most probably available tomorrow. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Ofner. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. We will present and discuss with you today our results for the first 9 months of 2018. So starting with the passenger perspective, you see that we surpassed with a growth of 7.3% at Vienna Airport and 8.7% in the group our initially given guidance, and we saw again a very strong performance both in Vienna and also in Malta and Kosice. And if you look at October results, you see that we are in the process of substantially accelerating growth, which is due to the fact that what seemed to be uncertain 6 months ago now really works, that the plans of new entrants in the market here in Vienna are working, and that they are filling the planes, that they are flying what they intended to fly. And so we should see a wave of growth on the passenger side that will not end on the 31st of December of 2018. And we can discuss the effects of that later on. Revenue increased by 4.9%, and those who have been present in our last conference call for half year's result might remember, and those who were not present, I want to point it out again, that due to some shuffling of positions, the revenue of 17 is not exactly comparable to 18, because especially on the aviation side, communication expenses and other expenses have been changed how they are booked. EBITDA improved by 6.6% to 284. EBIT by 14.3% and net profit for the period by 16.5%, which shows that the ability of the company to improve results is still ongoing, and this is especially also supported by a better EBITDA margin in the first 9 months 18 compared to the first 9 months of 17, despite the new contracts with the Lufthansa Group, which substantially weigh on our revenues and also on the results, and despite other adverse effects that should be one off effects this year. And these are overtime payments exceeding roughly 5 million euros that have been caused by the mess of delays and cancellation of flights and all that stuff that has been divorced since decades and which has affected also our operation and which cannot be handed over to anybody else, because if a plane comes 1 hour later, you cannot do anything else but let your people there and let do the work. And this clearly a trigger for extra costs and cannot be passed on to the airlines or to somebody else. As the Environmental Fund payment has not been liquidated so far, although we are now in the final phase of maybe getting it through, the net debt reduction was stronger than expected, but this will be outweighed once we pay the roughly 60 million that should be due in the days to come. In regard of our guidance, unfortunately, what I saw so far led to some misunderstanding. When I use the words more than, I normally think that it is clear that it is more than the amount that is there. Maybe we should have put another verb to our guidance. So clearly more passengers will contribute to better results. And if we give the guidance that the profit for the period and revenue should be more than 770 million or EBITDA more than 350 million, it's not by figure clearly stated what it finally will be at the end of the year. But you can be sure that higher passenger numbers, higher revenues will also be passed through to EBITDA and net profit. So you should assume that more means more than and not less or not exactly this amount. And the same will be passed through in regard of our dividend policy, especially in regard of the fact that our net debt position is better than initially planned. But what exactly it means will have to be discussed in the board and with our shareholders and will be made public once the decision has been made. I already addressed the improvement of our EBITDA margin. I think we are still on a very good path to improve productivity, and remembering anybody that we digest a mid-two-digit million euro effect from the new contracts with Lufthansa, I think this is a really fine achievement, given also the fact that due to the incentive scheme, any new operation of an airline has an initial effect in regard of support that should be melting down further down the road, not totally, but to a certain extent. And from that perspective, I think the things are relatively fine. If we look at the financial result, it's an ongoing improvement. And in regard of the EIB loan, we could reach some relief in regard of costs for collaterals. But in substance, the court procedure has not ended to our favor. So at least for the time being, We will repay 25 million per year of our EIB loan, and you see some effects of the relief from the collateral costs this year, and it will also be visible in the following years. The higher costs are mainly driven by personal expenses. Unfortunately, we saw substantial overtime due to the flight delays. So if we would take out that, roughly 5 million, the overall development of personal expenses is quite in line with our plans and shows that we still can harvest some productivity gains. Depreciation and amortization was lower than last year and might stay at this level for one more year and then might start to go up again due to the investments made. Net debt is at 118, CAPEX at 112, equity ratio at 59.9, and our net debt target is not met because, as I said initially, the roughly 60 million for the environmental fund are still on our side, but should be liquidated relatively soon. I already addressed the net debt situation. You see that the repayment of EIB loan is ongoing, and we should see interest relief from that side. So 25 million per year equal to a relief in interest of roughly 1.2 million euros. And on the other side, also the amount covered by the collaterals is reduced. I think we are very happy with the cash flow situation, and I think nothing really extraordinary to report on that. Clearly, there are some reshufflings on the financing side, and the effects of additional investments will be visible further down the road. In regard of share price development, nothing really new. What is new is that we already started the construction of our Office Park 4, which amounts to roughly 60 million investment, and it should be operational not later than May 2020. And we are in the final phase of the search for a third hotel operator at the airport, and this decision should be made somewhere at the end of the year, so in 6 weeks maybe. And we think then that it will take maybe 2.5 years to construct and finalize the project, and it could be operational somewhere later 21. We just recently started the operation of our health center. It's very huge compared to facilities you may be used to. It's 1,600 square meters. There are more than 20 medical specialists working already. And I think it's a very attractive facility that is very much supporting the overall quality of the airport for companies who are looking for a settlement nearby the airport. It's directed to the employees that are working on the airport, currently roughly 22,500. And it's also open for the neighborhood, and I think we can expect that it will substantially improve in the years to come the quality of our airport as a business location. Only in 2018, roughly 2,500 new jobs have been created on the site by all the companies who are operational here. And one of the biggest investment currently is DHL, and they already started to build their logistic campus with all the necessary facilities. So as you are aware, the outlook for the rest of the year is has to be understood in the way as it is written, so that we will exceed revenue of 770, EBITDA 350, group net profit of 148, and that we will end up below the initial projection of net debt of 200 million. A CAPEX of 175 should be more or less reached from today's perspective. So that's from my side. May I add two questions that we got already in advance? The third runway has no CAPEX effects, neither in 19 nor to be expected in 20, because the legal procedure is still ongoing, and therefore no substantial expenses have to be covered except the legal procedure. And to one-offs, the same has to be said as last quarter. We sold one piece of land in our business park. So in total, the positive effects are around, one-off effects are around plus 3.0 million. The adverse effects I already mentioned. It's overtime payment for roughly 5 million, and there are some changes in regard of longevity and the tables we have to use for the calculation of future personal expenses. So this amounts to 1.4 million minus, and that's the amount of one-offs. So I hand over now to Julian Jäger.
Yeah, thank you, Günther. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start with some details on the segment results. The airport segment had an excellent year, 2018 so far, with an EBIT growth by 30%, EBITDA 12%, external revenue plus 4.6%. Obviously driven by passenger numbers up by 7.3% in the first 9 months of this year. The main drivers of this growth were Austrian Airlines, EasyJet, Eurowings, but also Laudamotion, Wizz Air and Level, which contributed substantially, and obviously we will see in the months to come significantly more positive effects from the new low-cost carrier entrants. What we saw so far in 2018 was an average revenue per passenger from airport charges by 14.6 euros. This is a decrease of roughly 4.5% compared to 2017. This will not change significantly until the end of this year, so it might end around 14.5 euros for the full year 2018. The second segment I would like to talk about is handling and security services. This is an area where we were hit very hard. Obviously overall the company is in excellent shape, but the handling segment is definitely the one which needs a lot of attention in the next 12 to 18 months. We felt this year, and this is the revenue increase doesn't really show that, but as you know, we did a new contract with Austrian Airlines, Lufthansa and Swiss last year and got an extension until 2025 with Austrian, 2023 with Lufthansa and Swiss. We had to agree to get these extensions to reduce the cost by a very low double-digit million number. And the insignificant growth in external revenue came from traffic growth, but that obviously means that we had to do significantly more work to make the same amount of money. And on the other hand, as Günther already pointed out, we had an issue with punctuality, like everybody in Europe, but those both factors led to a very significant increase in overtime payments by around 5 million euros, and this is what you see in our results with an EBIT of 6.1 million euros. Essentially, in next year, we have to reduce our staff costs in ground handling by as high as possible single-digit million number. We already had a change in the management in our ground handling division effective of 1st of October, until April or summer schedule next year, we want to change a lot of processes and the structure of this business segment to be in a position to reduce costs. Again, next year we will feel a further reduction in the ground handling prices we charge to Austrian Airlines. This will be again a reduction of around 5-6 million euros. So for next year, what I can see from today, we won't have a decrease in revenues in this segment, but we won't have an increase as well. And therefore, it's very important to change the processes and reduce our staff costs. There was a question regarding market share. We had last year, in terms of ramp handling, a market share of 87%. This year, we expect the market share to be around 84%. Next year, we expect the market share to go down to 80%. And in terms of check-in, so passenger handling, we had this year a market share of 21%, and we think it will go up to roughly 23% next year. retail and properties, as you know, there are three different business units. It's parking, it's rental, and shopping and F&B. More or less all of them had an increase around 3.2 to 3.4% increase in revenues. Shopping and F&B had the biggest share of around 38%, parking 35%, and rentals 27%. Our PRR went down to Euro 83, there were some questions regarding the reasons. This really hasn't changed significantly. It's low cost and it's its exchange rates. If you, I mean, just giving you some country highlights, the average spend per passenger from passengers traveling to Russia, minus 15%. Switzerland, minus 12%. UK, minus 6%. Italy, Spain, Israel, minus 14 to minus 16%. Taiwan, minus 20%. USA, minus 10%. Essentially, the only country which went up was China with plus 5%. And if you have a look at the airlines and their spend in the duty-free shop, I mean, our average is 6%. Austrian is pretty much our average. But then Wizz Air 280, Eurowings 320, EasyJet 320, Level 250, Laudamotion 217. On the other hand, the long haul, Aeroflot 25 euros, Saudia 20 euros, Korean 60 euros, Air China 23 euros, Thai 13 euros. So essentially the main growth from low cost obviously reduces our PRR. To give you a bit of good news as well, I think October was to a certain extent a change in the trend. In terms of duty-free, we saw a more than 10% increase in revenues for us from duty-free in the backdrop of 18% passenger growth. Overall, I think revenues will be up between 12 and 13% in October. So I think taking two-thirds of the growth and translate that into revenue growth from retail is, I think, okay and should be our goal for next year to have at least 50% to two-thirds passenger growth from the revenue growth from passenger growth. So until the end of this year, we think that our PR should be around 1.85 euro, and next year, obviously depending on the growth, but it should be above 1.80, and my best guess would be that it would be around 1.80 euro. That EBIT was up 5 million euros plus 9.8%. Parking increasing slightly. Rentals, I mean, no major increases as well. We are more or less rented out, and as Günther pointed out, the next big a major step in this area will be the opening of Office Park 4. Malta still doing very, very well. Passenger volume up 14.2% in the first 9 months. I think October was the first month in years where Vienna had a higher passenger volume growth than Malta. Our colleagues in Malta managed very well to translate this passenger growth into an EBITDA and EBIT growth. So EBIT was up by 15%, EBITDA 13%, and external revenue by 12%. We are going to invest there in the terminal, and we are preparing now the second phase of the terminal expansion. The increase or the major increase in the duty-free shop has already been executed. Space for security has significantly increased, but we need more check-in facilities there. We need more space for specialty retail and F&B. And this is something we're going to do in the next few years. And on the other hand, after the approval of the master plan in February this year, we'll continue our landside expansion with our Malta airport city. Košice is doing well, plus 12% in the first 9 months of this year. And now traffic is going down a bit. Now we are feeling the effect that we are close the base in Košice, but overall we are still in positive territory, so there won't be major changes in the results. Yeah, let's talk a bit about traffic. I don't want to go into the details of Q1 to 3. Overall, 8.7% growth in the group, Vienna 7.3%. I think you saw with our October results that there is a major change going on now from October onwards. We expect that our seat capacity during the winter flight plan grows by something between 25% and 30%. But you have to watch out. There's one. The winter flight plan this year is 1 week longer than it used to be last year. So if you remove this 1 week, you're down to 20%, 22%, 23% in terms of seat capacity. Obviously, it's not clear yet how many of these seats will be taken up. We see mixed performances from in terms of load factor from our low-cost carrier here in Vienna. But definitely, we will have a very strong winter schedule, and now even November improves a bit on October, and December should be then a bit better on November. So overall, we will see very significant growth in the months until end of March. And that's why we improved our guidance, and we expect traffic in Vienna to be above 10%, and the same applies for the group. What is very positive, cargo was up 7.5% in October, flight movements plus 12%, so we will be significantly above 5% in terms of aircraft movements in 2018. And one positive thing as well is that the seat load factor is still growing. So despite the many new entrants, despite a lot of new routes, on average the seat load factor is growing, and I think this is a very good sign. Yeah, I think you know the new entrants from 2018. Just recently, Hainan opened a Shenzhen route in China. We managed to secure ANA starting in February and a daily service to Tokyo Haneda. Canada will take over Toronto with more seat capacity than Austrian. Austrian, on the other hand, will open Montreal. So I think the long-haul development for next year looks very good. I am optimistic as well that we will get the one or other additional route to China in 2019. So the good development we saw this year in terms of long-haul, and I think we've got the growth of close to 40% towards East Asia, should continue to a certain extent next year. I think the big question mark is traffic for 2019. Our best guess for next summer schedule today, with all the uncertainties we have there, is that we will have more than 5% seat capacity growth in summer 2019 over summer 2018. I think this is pretty much in line with OAG as well. Although OAG is always a bit more optimistic than we are, because I think they are not that thoroughly reducing flights which are in the system but probably will not actually materialize. But overall, as far as I'm informed, OAG is not far off these numbers. And the big question mark will be how the big battle will turn out then in next summer with Laudamotion having 7 or 8 aircraft stationed in Vienna. Wizz are going up to 5. Level should go up to 7. So Austrian adding a few smaller aircraft to their fleet, mainly to stabilize their performance in terms of punctuality and cancellations. So overall, we're looking at an excellent 2019. It should be definitely a new record over the roughly 27 million passengers we are going to have in 2018. But how much, this is still a big question mark, and there we will, put our heads together and trying to come up with something, which makes sense in January, 2019. Yeah. That's it from my end, and now we are happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is *1, and we'll go first to Bernd Maurer with RCB.
Hello, good afternoon. Two questions. Looking at passenger trends and revenue trends, of course, we were all aware of the influence of the change of the discount scheme. Do you see that? My assumption would be that the effect in 19 should even be stronger than in 18, meaning the delta between passenger growth and revenue growth in the aviation system, in the aviation segment, should be bigger next year than this year. Is this correct? Point one. And question number two refers to your FTE plans in light of the strong traffic development. How is there a rule of thumb on passenger growth? How much you need to increase the personnel on the airport, or what are your staffing plans going forward?
I mean, it depends a lot on how much we will be growing our passenger numbers next year. So if you take that this year, roughly 10% or a bit more passenger growth translates into a reduction of 4.5% in terms of airport charges. If we are significantly above 10%, yes, you might be right that the reduction in the average charge per passengers will be more. If we are below the 10%, it will be less, and if we are on around the 10%, it will be somewhere there. I mean, this is, in detail, this is really difficult to forecast, because it depends a lot if airlines reach certain thresholds, if they reach, they come into the volume discount or not. So this makes always the difference of a few million. But I would guess that we would be pretty similar. We would be a similar development as in 2018. But you mustn't forget that we've got the reduction of, I think, 7 or 8 million euros in terms of marketing, which used to be on the cost side and which is now on a reduction of revenue, and because it was put into the incentives. So I think the picture here is it looks worse than it actually is.
Regarding your second phase effect for next year?
Depending, I mean, it always depends on the traffic. But what I can tell you is that in January, when we are coming up with a traffic forecast, you will get a number for our expectation based on that traffic forecast in terms of revenue per passenger from airport charges. In terms of staffing, there are very few areas where there's a direct connection between additional staff and passenger growth. So the only area where we will add a significant number of additional staff is security. So we will add roughly 50, 60, 70 people in our security subsidiary to care for the additional passenger numbers. The rest of the company essentially. There should not be any impact on staffing, and on the other hand, in terms of ground handling, staff costs should significantly be reduced, as I told you, with as high as possible single-digit million euro amount, not necessarily because of a significant reduction in headcount, but mainly due to the intended reduction in overtime payment, or probably a mix of both.
I mean, in general, I would assume, without giving you any concrete projection for next year, because it's too early to do that, but that on a percentage perspective, there should not be a substantial deviation between the percentage of passenger growth and our net profit development next year. There might be some deviation, but not a very substantial one.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one for your questions. We'll go next to Stephanie Doff with Royal Bank of Canada.
Hi, and thank you for your time. my question. My first one is on EBITDA guidance. So I understand you say
it's very difficult to understand you.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Better.
Can you hear me better?
Go on. Yeah. Go on.
So when you say the EBITDA guidance is bigger than, and therefore you expect that obviously the increase in passenger has will increase the EBITDA. Why did you not increase the below the threshold over which you expect? So that's my first question.
Which threshold are you meaning?
The above 350.
The answer is very simple. More means more, and to what extent more? Maybe it would have been better to put also a figure there, but in at least in German, more means more, and not the same.
Yes, I understand that more, but then you did increase the percentage for the traffic, so you said more for traffic too. But you did increase the number to which it was related. So I was just surprised why you increased the number of traffic and not for EBITDA. But the answer is just for a recession. That's true. In terms of the capacity and in particular security lines, are you experimenting any bottleneck issues or in terms of infrastructure? The increase in passenger flow is not an issue for you. And could you maybe also, in terms of the passenger growth for next year, remind us what Lauda Motion and Wizz Air have as planned increase the number of millions of passengers and whether the waiting between this year and next year has slightly changed, because initially at least I had more positive impacts for next year, and it seems like some of it has been maybe brought forward. Thank you very much.
I didn't understand your last question.
So Wizz Air and Lauda Motion, the new flight introduction that are basically boosting your passenger growth, they have, I think, announced a number of flights or a number of seats. And if the number of seats, if you look at the addition in 2018 versus 2019, has it been in line with what you were forecasting, or has it been maybe brought forward a little bit? I just had the impression, at least on my numbers, that some of next year's tailwinds was basically coming in earlier in 2018.
I mean, starting with your question regarding bottlenecks, we don't foresee any bottlenecks in 2019. Obviously, security in the old part of the terminal will be a bit tighter, so probably queuing would increase a bit. But I mean, we're going to extend the security area there, so there should be no substantial changes in 2019. In terms of our passenger forecast, I can't give you detailed figures on our customers. We've got projections, but essentially we won't comment, and we don't want to give out into the public our perception of how our customers will be doing. But what I can repeat is that we expect to have a seat capacity growth next year of a bit more than 5% for the summer schedule 2019 and more than 20% in the winter schedule 2018-19. So I think this gives you already a bit of a picture how we look at seat capacity for 2019. How this translates into passenger growth, this is something we are still trying to work out, and where we can give you more detail in January. As I said, Lauda Motion confirmed that they want to have 7 aircraft based in Vienna. Wizz Air will go up to 5 aircraft next year, starting from March, I think. And Lever I think they're still working a bit on their summer schedule, but we should see more aircraft next summer here in Vienna as well. But I think all these figures are still a bit fluid. So even the 5-6% growth in terms of seat capacity for summer next year, this is based on what we know today. Probably with a bit of caution, OAG expects 7.5% growth next summer, but I would not rule out that there's already a consolidation of coming in next summer. So overall, it should be a very significant growth in 2019 for Vienna Airport.
Because I had that Wizz Air was adding 450,000 seats 18 and 1.5 million 9, and Laudamotion was looking at 8 aircraft from October.
Yes, 7 to 8 aircraft.
So they actually started operating in October some of those aircraft already?
Wizz Air will base, I think, tomorrow or the day after some additional aircraft. So all of them are so far flying on plan. As I said, I would not rule out that there's already a bit of consolidation going on next summer, but this is something which is pure guesswork from today's point of view. I can't 100% confirm the numbers from Wizz Air. You just said, but my knowledge from March on next year, there will be 5 aircraft from Wizz Air. Next summer, we expect 7-8 aircraft from Laudamotion, and we are looking at an increase in terms of level. Probably they would go up to 7 aircraft as of summer flight plan 2019. But as I said, I think the summer flight plan is still in the working, to my knowledge.
We'll take our next question from Andrew Lobbenberg with HSBC.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
I know you've been speaking about the differential between unit revenues and passengers. Is that just focusing on the incentives? I mean, how are we meant to think about the tariffs and the tariff structure? Or in this day and age, with all the growth coming from low-cost carriers, is it just negotiated and the tariff structure becomes less relevant? And then the second question, which is really general, how do you guys try and run your business when you've got such a sudden acceleration in growth, which really may not be sustainable and could potentially reverse because the scale of competition does not, to me, look in any way sustainable? And, you know, I suspect you recognize the risks to its sustainability. But you're trying to maximize the profits for your airport and try and, you know, make a sustainable business out of yours. How do you manage the business with such sort of crazy erratic traffic trends?
Let me start with your second question. I don't necessarily think that this is erratic. Essentially, I think what we are experiencing now in Vienna is a very sudden growth, and I think we are experiencing now the growth in 6 months, which other airports had over the last 3 or 4 years. So if you compare our traffic results over the last 4 or 5 years, most of the years we were below the European average. So I think, it all happened very quickly after the Air Berlin and Niki went bust. But I don't necessarily agree that this is completely erratic and that this is not sustainable. I think I I had a close look at what happened in Brussels. And if you look at Brussels, when Vueling went into the market and then Ryanair followed and SN Brussels increased their capacity as well, apart from the terrible terror act in Brussels, they never went down back to the levels they had prior the big increase in the low-cost capacity. So I think there will be significant shifts amongst the low-cost carriers. Yes, there will be some carriers which will drop out of certain routes. There might be some carriers which close down their Vienna base at all. This might happen, but I think that the big strategic advantage for us not being dependent on one low-cost carrier. I think it's good that we have a very significant presence of EasyJet, Laudamotion, Ryanair, Eurowings, Vueling, Lever. Therefore, I think the growth fits into our airport. I mean, when we did not have Terminal 3 in operation, we had roughly 20 million passengers going through the old part of the airport, so there's enough capacity. And I think the value of slots goes up as well. So next summer, obviously, the peaks will be pretty full. But what does that mean? If somebody drops out, there's a high incentive for somebody else to take up the slot to improve the strategic position of the respective airline. Yes, there will be consolidation. Yes, I would not bet that 2020 we will see another increase on top of 2019. We might see certain decrease in passenger numbers, although this is now really looking into a crystal ball. Nobody really knows what's going to happen in 19, not talking about 2020. So I think strategically, it's good for us becoming a bit less dependent on Lufthansa Group, not being dependent on an individual low-cost carrier, and therefore I don't think that we would go down to the passenger number level of 2017 again. So we might not sustain the 2019 levels, but I'm sure we will be on the 2018 or above the 2018 level for quite a number of years. Okay, question. Regarding your first question, in terms of airport charges, we will increase our airport charges roughly by 0.6%, 0.7%, 0.8%. With January, zero, yeah, point. Of course, point. 0.6%, 0.7% in 2019. The effects on 2020 and the following years depend, obviously, a lot on what's happening until then with traffic development. Does
that answer your question? Okay, thank you. Yeah, it does. Thank you.
You sound a little bit skeptical, but be optimistic.
And at this time, there are no further questions in the phone queue.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
In this case, bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the interest. And if you have any further questions, please get back to me later, either by email or by call. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.